Acts chapter 12, let's look at verse 29-30 of chapter 11 first. We saw last week the church partnering in missions in chapter 11, verse 29. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Then look at chapter 12 and verse number 12, if you will. We see the church partnering. Now we see the church praying. Chapter 12, verse 12. And when he considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Let's pray. Father, as we look in your word today, I ask that you'll guide what I say. Help me to help your people. Feed us through the word, we pray. Equip us for what we're going to face, O Lord, and strengthen us today. And Father, if there's anyone here lost, we pray for them to be saved. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We saw last week the early missionary church at Antioch. The people were called Christians there. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. This was a Gentile church that was now being established. And Barnabas and Saul ministered there for the period of a year. And it was there they were called Christians first. Now they send relief by partnering as a missionary effort, send relief to Judea. And that would be like our missionary churches sending an offering back here because we've suffered some devastation from a famine or from a hurricane or something of that nature. Now we saw the house church gathered together in Mary's home, the home of John Mark, her son, and they're praying for Peter, who was put in prison. And we looked at that last week. They prayed, and we see a great importance of prayer in missions. It takes a lot more than just giving money to missionaries to meet the needs on the foreign field. They have needs of safety, needs of protection, needs for things to go well. We take a lot of things for granted here, that banks are honest and mailmen are honest and that sort of thing. But over there, many of the mission fields do not have that pleasure. And so getting their funds to them and getting them distributed without being robbed. Many of our missionaries live in homes with bars and gates and a dog and things like that where they live because it would be easy for them to be robbed, and some of them certainly have been. And so we need to pray for them, pray for their safety, pray for their protection, pray for their provision. Turn over with me, if you will, the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. Saul, who becomes the Apostle Paul, writes many of the New Testament letters. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, writing to Timothy, he writes on the subject of prayer in verse number 1 of chapter 2. And so he writes to the church at Ephesus, where Timothy is the pastor, that they would pray. He gives instructions. Chapter 2 of 1 Timothy, verse 1. I exhort therefore that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So Paul writes to Timothy about the subject of the church praying. He lists, first of all, the priority of prayer. All of these various types of prayer. Supplications. The Greek word desis in the Greek is what is translated supplication. Is the similar thing mentioned in the Gospels in importunity. To pray with importunity. To make supplication. It is based on seeing the need. Feeling the need. Knowing there's a great need that we're praying for. We make supplication unto God. There's an urgency added to prayer. There is a sincerity added to prayer. There is an appealing added to prayer because of the need that we see when we pray. Secondly, he uses the common word for praying, meaning to ask. We ask of God. We address our Father in heaven. But we know it is through the Lord Jesus Christ that we have that access to come unto God. And it's a shame that in our government today that they are trying to stop anyone praying in Jesus' name. My friends, you can't pray if you don't pray in Jesus' name. I mean, it doesn't do any good to pray if you don't have Jesus involved with it. You're just talking to the clouds. If you want to talk to God, you've got to talk through Jesus. And it's important that we recognize the power in the name of Jesus Christ. And then to make intercession, to intercede for other people. Pretty common explanation there, that we seek on behalf of others. Prayer requests. Much of our prayers are involving us, I, me, and mine. I'm concerned about my family, I'm concerned about my health, I'm concerned about my children and my grandchildren, and certainly I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray for this church, pray for all of you and our association together. And there's where intercession can come in, when we pray for others, focusing on the needs of others, with supplication, with someone who's in a crisis, someone's in a real need. When Tweetsie first got a hold of me yesterday, by the way, Tweetsie, and to all of you, if you'll take one of my business cards, you have three phone numbers on there to get me. 9 to 3 or 4 o'clock in the daytime, I'm normally here at the office Monday through Thursday. I have a cell phone number on there where you can catch me when I'm away from the office. And if I can't answer my cell phone or the phone here, I still have a home phone. I could be sitting in my chair at the house, and you try to call the number here or try to call my cell phone. It might be turned off or recharging or something, or I could be out of range. And be sure to call all the numbers if you want to get me in an emergency situation. And, hey, Rob, glad to have you here. Maybe I should say, Daddy. Hi, Daddy. You know, I heard he had a 55-gallon barrel out behind his house where he burns trash, and the neighbor saw him out there in the barrel going, Dada, Dada. getting the echo back. Not really, I'm just kidding. We're glad you made it today. We prayed for Candace and the baby already. We pray making intercession for other people and their needs. When Tweetsie got a hold of me about Robert, that was a crisis situation. He suffered a great seizure, been taken to the hospital in the ambulance, and he was talking about putting him in ICU, and they're talking about a brain bleed. So you pray with supplication and with intercession. You intercede for somebody else, and you pray with a strength, with an importunity, with an urgency, with an appeal on behalf of someone else. And then with a giving of thanks. We're talking about the priority of prayer and all the types of prayer that are needed. When Paul wrote to Ephesus about the armor of God, we're to put on the whole armor of God. Verse 18, he said, praying with all prayer. And he again lists these types of prayer that we're to pray as a part of putting on the armor of God every day. Put on the whole armor of God, we have to put on prayer as well. It is a part of it. And there Paul makes the appeal, pray for me. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul needed people to pray for him? Jesus on the cross, his disciples, he asked them to pray with him. He had great anxiety as he was about to go to the cross. It wasn't just the physical suffering, it was the fact he was going to be separated from his Father on the cross. And that's when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But in Gethsemane, he prayed and he asked his disciples to pray. And Paul asked them to pray for him. And we're to pray for others. And then we're to give thanks. We're to be a thankful people when we pray. Don't you pray sometimes and you don't think about thanking God when he answers a prayer till you get ready to pray for something else? And then you remember, oh yeah, thank you, I got home last night safe on that trip. Thank you for the need that was met. Thank you for whatever it may be. We're to be a thankful people in prayer, believing God will answer. Thankful that we have access to pray and that God has given us the method of prayer in order to have our needs met. Because the Bible is very clear, God knows what our needs are before we even ask. But He's told us to ask, to pray, that He might meet our needs. Then we see the persons of prayer in this passage of Scripture. He said to pray for all men. Everybody. That's a generic term, men, there. It means everybody, men and women. We're to pray. And we're to pray for kings and those that are in authority. In our case, we have a president, we have senators, we have congressmen, we have state government officials. And we're to pray for these people that pass the laws, that rule over men, so that we might have a life of peace and be able to live godly and honestly. And it's important that those that rule over us allow us to live for God and not to sin against the Lord by their laws and their transgressions. The church at Peter made supplication for him. They prayed for him and he was released from prison. Remember, God can move the heart of a king. That includes presidents of the United States. Proverbs 21, verse number 1, God can move the heart of a king like he moves the rivers from this way and that way. As they change their boundaries, God can change the mind and the heart of a king. Or God can remove a king as he did in chapter 12. Look at Acts again with me in chapter 12 and verse number 19. Keep your bookmark there in Timothy. We might come back there. Chapter 12, verse 19, the Bible says, when Herod sought for him, he found him not. He examined the keepers and commanded they should be put to death. He went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. Herod killed 16 men who'd been guarding Peter because Peter got released. And then he makes peace with a group and they put him on display and he gets up and makes a great speech. And the Bible says in verse number 22, the people gave a shout saying, it is the voice of a God and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten with worms and gave up the ghost. So God removed the obstacle here. The man who was putting to death James, the disciple, and put Peter in prison with the idea of killing him. Instead, all the guards got killed, just like those that threw the Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, into the fiery furnace. The guards were killed by the heat of the furnace, but they suffered no harm because of the power of God. And Peter suffered no harm here, but the guards were put to death. And then the king dropped dead on the spot because people were going to worship him instead of worshiping God, and he gave not God the glory. So God removed this king, and that removed the obstacle. Look over at chapter 12, verse 24. It says, after he died, but the word of God grew and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Herod, sitting in a royal garment he's had made for this occasion, no doubt. And he speaks with an oration, and the people are enthralled with him and his appearance and being a king and a ruler. And so they give him glory as a god, and the Lord takes him out of the way. And God can take any king or president or official out of the way if he desires to do so. Saddam Hussein gobbled up lands and wealth and raped and murdered and gassed the Kurdish people and invaded Kuwait. You know why he invaded Kuwait? Because they had loaned him a lot of money to build up his military. And he wasn't making the payments on it. He decided, I'll just go down there and take them over, and I'll have all their oil and all of their wealth, and I won't have to pay them back all the money that I owe them. And so they got on the telephone and called for a higher power. But instead of calling on God, they called on the United States of America. And we went over there and helped them, you know. Where's Saddam today? Well, God's able to remove kings when they spread themselves like a green bay tree, when they violate what Isaiah said to Israel, woe unto them that lay house to house, when they gobble up nation after nation after nation. Hitler tried to do that. There have been many kings and rulers who've tried to do that and who are dead. Woe unto them that drink and regard not the Lord. Woe unto them that pull their sin behind them like the drawing a cart full of iniquity. And they say, where is God in his kingdom? That's what old Pharaoh said. Who is God that I should obey him? God showed him just who he is. And the waters closed up on his whole army as he chased after Israel. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and who are mighty to drink so they might corrupt justice. And my friends, there are many today corrupt in justice. The Bible says, woe unto them when they call good evil and evil good. Do you know that Christianity and those that stand up for the founding principles of this nation are being called evil by many people in power today in the government? And I say to you that there's a danger there for us to lose even more privileges that we have that have been earned by the blood of those who've given their life in battles and wars that we might have the freedoms that we enjoy. We need to be people that pray. Pray for our leaders. We pray for them to get saved, but if they don't get saved, we pray the Lord will remove them if they're an obstacle in the way. Christians, we're to confess our sins and humble ourselves. Like Solomon when he dedicated the temple of God, I believe that's a principle, not just a specific for Israel that day. Solomon asked God to bless his people, and he said, they may wander away, God, but will you bless them anyway? And God said, if my people, which call by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And I think that principle is still true today. If God's people confess their sin and humble themselves before God and turn away from wickedness and unrighteousness, then we can get hold of heaven in prayer and ask God to intercede. We see the priority of prayer, and we see the people of prayer, and we see the pleasing aspect of prayer. If you're still in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3, it says, what is good and acceptable in the sight of God? It's important that we have a desire to please the Lord, to do what is acceptable in His sight. That shows that we're humbling ourselves for God's will to be done and not just our desires to be done. And that's an important aspect of our Christian life. Enoch had the testimony before God translated him to heaven. He had this testimony that he pleased God. I want that to be said of me, don't you? I want to please the Lord. I want to do what's acceptable in His sight. I want to have His blessings upon my life and upon my family and be able to pray. In Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. How vital that is for a nation that we are people who please God so that we can be at peace and live in peace. 1 Thessalonians 4:1, you have received of us how you ought to walk and please God and abound more and more. We see the priority of prayer, the people of prayer, pleasing aspect of prayer. And then in verse 4 of 1 Timothy 2, the promotion of prayer. Because God would have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. There was a day when in our nation presidents and men in power would call for Christians to pray about the needs that we have. England declared a day of prayer when their people were cut off in Germany. And Hitler's men came in and bombed the oil fields that were there. And all that black smoke created a great cloud. And the weather over the English Channel just socked all that in. And people set out from England across the English Channel in even little personal boats and went over there to the shores and rescued the British soldiers and brought them home before they were destroyed there on the edge of the English Channel. Because people prayed and because God interceded. There was a day in our country where presidents called on us to pray, and a time where they recognized the Bible as God's Word and saw that morals were important and integrity was important. You see, leaders influence, and we need to pray for those in leadership that they will influence in the right way. And then we see the personage of prayer. The Bible says there's one God and one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. That's how we pray. That's the person we pray to. We pray, Jesus said, pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Then we see the progress that prayer made in the early church. God removed this king back in Acts chapter 12, verse 24. The Bible says, because of that, the word of God grew and multiplied. There was revival. There was a spreading. There was a missionary effort among the Gentile nations. The gospel went forth. People were believing. Churches were getting established. Gentile nations were hearing the gospel for the first time some. And churches were being established among them. This is missions that was spreading to the foreign lands. Barnabas and Saul were a key part of those that were taking the gospel and taking the offerings And when they took the offering to Jerusalem, they brought John Mark home with them to help them on the journey. Now, we believe John Mark is the nephew of Barnabas. And he became their servant, their minister. Like Joshua was a servant to Moses, he became one who assisted them in the work they were doing. He became the assistant pastor to these two missionaries. And he was there to help them and meet their needs. And you know the story, how that he departed from them after they'd gone to the island of Cyprus in two locations. And we don't know what it was. We don't know if it was hardship, homesick, you know, whether he never intended to stay the whole time or what. But he went back home, and because of that, Paul did not want to take him with them when they went on the next journey. But it wasn't just anger and meanness. You got two missionary teams then. Barnabas took John Mark, and Paul took Silas, and you had two missionary teams going. And God blessed the efforts of both. Paul and Barnabas have been greatly used at Antioch. And now in taking the offering to Jerusalem in the time of persecution, they somehow escaped that persecution where James was beheaded and Peter was put in prison. And they've been gone for some time, and now while they're gone from Antioch, others step up in leadership while they are gone. You know, our youth pastor decided to go home to Virginia to work in his home church as the assistant pastor there, and we wish Brother Jerry all the best in the world there in Virginia and the ministry there. I wish he'd put a little bit about his ministry on Facebook instead of the deer he's killed, you know, and stuff like that. But we all know Jerry, and so we're praying for them that their house will sell or get rented out here so they don't make two payments. And Scott Clark has asked for prayer that his house will sell in Lake Wylie because he's already taken the job down in Athens, Georgia. And we want to pray for them. But since Jerry left, we've had several folks step up and help. Pete has been here with me, you know, several days a week doing things around here that normally Jerry would have done in maintenance and things of that nature. And Mark is teaching the teenagers in Sunday school, and Jerry and Rob are teaching them on Wednesday night. And I haven't missed the need with Jerry taking the teenagers because these men have stepped up and they're stepping into leadership roles. They did that here at Antioch also. There were prophets and teachers, and it was here that the disciples were called Christians first because they were followers of Christ. And as their spiritual leadership took over, the Bible says they fasted and prayed. And in chapter 13 of Acts, the Bible says the Holy Spirit, through these men of leadership, said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." God called the church to send out these two missionaries to go to the foreign fields and to take the gospel. And so it was ordained by the church here to send forth Barnabas and Saul. And of course we know Saul is that man that becomes Paul. That name means small one. No doubt he matched that in his stature. And certainly through his writings we know he matched that in that he humbled himself before God and made himself small that Christ might be exalted. They left Jerusalem for Antioch, and then Antioch for Jerusalem, and then Jerusalem back to Antioch, and then they set sail to Seleucia and the island of Cyprus, which is off the coast. Here, the port city of Salamis, they preached the gospel in the synagogue of the Jews. And from there, John Mark, their assistant, doesn't follow them when they leave Cyprus. They stop in another port on the opposite end of the island at Paphos on the edge of Cyprus. And here they run into conflict. The sorcerer, Elymas, tries to withstand them lest the chief deputy there was going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And this child of the devil stood in the way. But lastly, we see in verse 9 through 12 of chapter 13, not only prayer, but the power of God. So that's what we're praying for these missionaries. That the power of God would be theirs to withstand any obstacle that they might face. And this obstacle of Elymas, the sorcerer, stood in Paul's way. Paul called down blindness upon him. You know, I'm afraid most of us today would get in the flesh with a guy like this and we'd want to put his eyes out in a different way, you know. We'd want to blind him. Paul didn't do that. Paul called on God to blind him and he got blind. And he had to go seek somebody to help him. And this chief deputy saw the power of God in that and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, when you get leaders in a place to get saved, then it's very easy that many more are going to be saved because the leadership turns to the Lord Jesus Christ and has seen the power of God. It's important that we are a people who not only partner with our missionaries, but people who pray for our missionaries. And we need to be a church of prayer. We have a reputation for that through our men's group that prays, through those that meet at Ira's house when they don't meet here on Saturday, and through the prayer meeting on Wednesday night. We've had numerous answers to prayer that folks have known that it was the power of God in prayer that brought the result. I talked to Brother Knapp this morning when they came in. I said, "Did you go to West Virginia to see your brother?" And he said, "Yes," and he had a terrible ordeal, but God turned it around. Said the doctors were talking to the family about no resuscitation and all that sort of thing. Said, but then his brother got better. Praise God, that's an answer to prayer. And that's the kind of thing we look for and ask for on behalf of all of our folks who are sick and in need today. We still got people who need jobs, and if they've been out of work for a while, you know what a crisis that is. We deal with homeless people. I dealt with a couple of black ladies this past week that were living in a motel, and we gave some help to them, and they have children, and they've been homeless. One lady, a tree fell on her house, and the other lady has been living in that hotel. Her bill has been paid so far, it was over $8,000. She's lived in that hotel probably a year or longer now to pay that much money to it, at about $170 a week for a, you know, kind of an old rattletrap hotel that rents by the week. Do you know there's some people sitting in this congregation right now that might not be but three or four paychecks away from being in that same position? If you lost your job and you lost your health and you lost your car, broke down, what would you do? How would you get out of the hole that you get into when it gets that deep? Well, one way is prayer. So let's pray for those that need jobs right now and ask God to provide so they don't get in that kind of situation, and God is able. Father, we thank you for the faithfulness of your people in being here this morning. We thank you for those that are going to follow you in believers' baptism in just a moment. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless this invitation as we seek for folks to come and obey you as you deal with their hearts. Maybe somebody needs to join this church, by the way, we accept members. Or they need to come for salvation today and receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. Or they've made a decision they need to make public. Lord, all these things we put in your hands, we pray the Holy Spirit will have liberty in these next few moments to deal in hearts as we sing and make an appeal for people to come. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have a need this morning, would you come? Let's stand together, please. We'd like to help you and guide you through the Word of God.